Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. In this episode, I'll be debunking two common leftist talking points, especially among the internet and radical left. So, let's get started. First thing I'd like to get into is that especially among those internet socialists, you get this idea, and sometimes from like the AOC types too, you get this idea that the rich are just like these Scrooge McDuck types who hoard a bunch of wealth. And that, if that were true, it would cause problems for the economy, which I'll get into here in a second. But it's also just not true. Because, I mean, we can debate how wisely some of them spend their money. But the fact of the matter is, they recirculate a lot of their wealth into the economy. Or they give it to, like, charities and stuff. And they pay a heck ton of it in taxes. So, I mean, those are kind of the problems with that whole myth. But here's the problems you would have in the economy if it were true that the rich were just hoovering up all the money and putting it in a giant money bin, like Scrooge McDuck from DuckTales. The problem you would have is, one, you would have the same or probably an increased amount of goods entering the economy, because while some of these rich folks are independently wealthy and inherited their wealth, a lot of them run companies. Now, whether they founded the company they run and are credited with, that's a question to look at on a case-by-case basis, and that's not my aim today. But whether they founded the company or not, many of them actually run companies that, you know, produce goods and services. Because that's how companies work. Like Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, those are the two that everybody thinks of when they think rich. And they both have active companies that are providing goods and services. So if the rich were Scrooge McDucking all their money, you would have the same or an increased amount of goods in the economy, but you would have less money following them because a larger and larger percentage of the money supply would be getting sucked up by the rich folks and just stored away. So that would cause problems not only for the everyday person, but also for those very rich folks, because the amount of, you know, if you hoard 100% of the money supply, well, there's going to be no more money. Nobody will be able to buy your goods anymore. So then your company goes bankrupt. And so while you might have all that money, you can't really buy anything with it because nobody can buy or sell because you have all the money. That's what would eventually happen if they were actually hoarding all the money. And then, so essentially, economic implosion. And then also, if the government, which I don't think they should do this, but if the government intervened in that case and printed a crap ton of paper money to help prevent the entire money supply from getting sucked up, well, then they've made the money supply bigger. So by definition, the money that the rich folks would be storing away would have less value than it did before, which would also penalize the rich, because their savings that they have accumulated would have less value than they did before. That's what inflation is for those who are waking up from a 20-year nap and have missed the last 5 years of inflation. Inflation is essentially when you have the same or an increased amount of goods and you have more money in the market. That's why printing money is in large quantities is not a good idea, like in these quote-unquote stimulus packages, for instance. It devalues the currency. So not only, again, would this printing of money cause the money that's still out there and the money that's introduced to have less value, which would still not help the everyman, but also the rich would be affected too, because their savings that they would have hoarded away would have less value than they did before. I mean, on a smaller scale, we're seeing this with older folks. There have been a lot of older folks who either retired and have to go back to work, or couldn't retire in the first place and so are still working, because their savings won't get them far enough. Like, they did save, but they don't have enough in their savings to be able to live on because inflation. And you know, you shouldn't and also can't count on the government to always help you with that and bail you out, because that program, not only has it been repeatedly quote-unquote borrowed from by Congress, but also those programs are not usually well run, and also with an aging population, you have less workers feeding into it. So that's a topic for another day, but essentially we're heading for a financial cliff if we don't do something, and people have been saying that for years, but that doesn't change the fact. But now that I've gotten us into a tangent, let's summarize. So essentially, the myth that the rich are hoarding all the money, are accumulating profit and just storing it away, Scrooge McDuck style, is not and cannot be true. Because if it was, it would cause economic problems, not only for the everyday person, but also for the rich people themselves. Because either as they would eat up more and more of the money supply, you would have less money in the economy, and eventually the economy would essentially implode. So not only would the everyday person not be able to buy anything, whether from the rich people's companies or from anyone else for that matter, because there'd be no more money, but also the rich person would suffer, because while they would have all that money, they would no longer be able to buy anything from anyone, because nobody has money to buy or sell anything. So production of anything would essentially come to a halt. And also, they wouldn't be able to, you know, they wouldn't be able to keep running their companies, which means they would be shut off from future revenue because they have all the money. And also, they wouldn't be able to, they wouldn't even be able to spend their money anymore on things outside of their company because, well, they have all the money now. If I'm making your head hurt, I apologize, but essentially, if the rich were actually eating up all the money, and just storing it away, like some people on the very far left, especially the internet left, and then like the AOC types want you to believe, the economy would essentially implode. And then again, if the government stepped in, they would print money, but the money they would print would cause the currency to have less value, so you would have inflation, which would not only impact the rich people who are storing the money away, if that's what they were doing, if this was true, because the money they'd be saving would not have as much value as it once did, but also would affect everybody else because, you know, for anyone who is unfamiliar with inflation, somehow inflation makes things more expensive. I don't know if the 12 people who don't know that listen to this show, but if they do, there you go. There's your clarification. And so, essentially, it wouldn't make any sense for the rich person to hoard all the money in the economy. Like, the myth can't be true because of what it would do to the economy, and even the most profit-hungry people know that, therefore, it would not be in their best interest, even if they don't care about the interests of others, as these same internet types would have you believe. They know it's not in their own interest to do that, because they know it would implode the economy. Which, if nothing else, would be shooting themselves in the foot. So don't believe the people who want you to think that the rich are just putting away all the money into a big money bin. And those are actually usually the same people who want us to raise the minimum wage to $50 an hour, too. So it all, you know, it's all connected. Let's just say that. Now, let's move on to the other topic, and that is the French Revolution. So, French Revolution, a lot of people claim that it is not communist, that it was radical, yes, but that it was not communist. Now, I would disagree with that, because while I will note that, yes, it didn't call itself communists, the revolutionaries didn't call themselves communists. There were actually two main factions. There was the more moderate faction, and then there was a, like, really radical faction. And none of them called themselves communists. I'm not even sure if any of them called themselves socialists. But, as I'll get to later, whether you call yourself that or not, can become irrelevant when the results essentially call you that for you, if that makes sense. So the French Revolution can be justifiably called communist because not only did they overthrow the monarchy, not only did they seize the wealth of the monarchy and of a lot of the other elites and whatnot. They also killed the king and the queen and a lot of other people for that matter. And they threw away God. They tried to replace him with reason. They also, the French Revolution is also the point, the time and place that originated the metric system, which a lot of y'all may not agree with me on this, but I believe the metric system is communist, and so I refuse to use it whenever possible. But if you'd like a more expanded take on this topic, we can do an episode on that another day. The point is that even though many will say that the French Revolution is not communist, and they're right to point out that, you know, it didn't call itself Marxist. It couldn't have. Marx wasn't born until 1818. And the French Revolution started in the 1790s. It doesn't change the fact that the French Revolution looks pretty communist to me. More successful, objectively speaking, than many communist revolutions, actually. I mean, the communists, they talk a lot about eating the rich and rejecting God and quote-unquote redistributing, which is fancy, which is theft with 105% of the syllables, as I've said before, and will say again. And a lot of times, especially when the rhetoric is more heated, these revolutionaries do call for violence. They if you question them on it, they will try to double back and say they don't actually favor violence, but then you hear them. In fact, you sometimes will see people on the internet. I saw this a lot in my leftist days, 2019, early 2020. It wouldn't surprise me if some are still saying this, but you saw a lot of this guillotine rhetoric even. And, you know, the French Revolution is known for, they really like them some guillotines. Like, that's where the guillotine kind of came from, if you know what I mean. I think it was invented before that, but that's where it was used a lot. That's where it was used the most. So, you know, when you have these people now who are literally calling for guillotining people, even if they then try to backtrack and say it's metaphorical, that also, you know, adds to the idea that the French Revolution was, if not communist, at least very, very, very communist adjacent. And as I promised earlier, I'll get to that, because whether you call it communist or not, I believe this is one of those cases where even if you don't call it that, it still is. Okay. If I have an animal and it's yellow, it looks like a duck, it has all the duck parts, it has feathers, wings, beak, it's the same size as a duck, it eats the same things as a duck, it has duck DNA, it quacks like a duck, it lays eggs, and then I can call it a dog all day long. I can call it a dog till I'm blue in the face. I could go to meet Jesus, and my last words on my lips would be, it's not a duck, it's a dog. And that would change absolutely nothing, because it looks, acts, has the physical anatomy and DNA of a duck. It does not have dog DNA. It does not look like a dog. It does not bark like a dog. It does not, you know, dogs don't lay eggs, last I checked. Dogs don't have feathers, last time I checked. They don't have wings or beaks, the last time I checked. And they have four legs and not two. So I could call it a dog all I want, but if it has all the duck characteristics, it's still a duck. It's the same thing here. You can call the French Revolution not communist all day long. You could say it till you're blue in the face. You could say it till the cows have come home, gone back out, come home again, and are halfway back out again second time. Would change absolutely nothing. So those are basically my thoughts on this. First, the idea that the rich are hoarding up all the money like Scrooge McDuck is absolutely absurd, because even the most profit-hungry person knows that doing so would implode the economy. And also, the French Revolution, regardless of what anyone with a fancy degree or otherwise says, was communist, has all the hallmarks of a communist revolution. And it also is the origin point for the metric system, which, whether you believe this or not, I do. I believe it's communist. They both, communism proper and the metric system, both seek uniformity and rejection of God, secularism, precision and progress for their own sake. You know, you may think I'm a conspiracy theorist, but I'm not. My eyes have just been opened over the last several years. And I wanted to open yours too. If you don't agree with me, that's fine. Just like in all other topics. My main aim on this show is to give you my perspective, and you can do with it what you may. You can believe it, you can kick it down the stairs, I don't care. But I'm not going to sugarcoat, and I'm not going to crowd please, and if you don't like what I have to say, fine, but at least consider it. At least give it some thought. That's what I wish we would do in our political discourse in general. We need to stop going into discussions aiming to change people. Instead, we just need to go into it thinking, okay, I'm going to give them my perspective. They're going to give me theirs. I'm going to listen to what they have to say. And I most likely won't be changed, but even if I'm not changed, they might say something and I might think, huh, I never thought of it that way. Now, I do believe that we shouldn't take that approach to false religions, but even then, we should be nice to those people because, I mean, we have to remember that we were once lost. And that they are children of God as well, even if they don't know it yet. So, with all of that said, thank you so much for listening. I apologize for the longer than normal hiatus between releasing of episodes. My life has been kind of crazy. But anyway, thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode or consider it to be food for thought. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts, the RSS feed, iHeartRadio, and Pandora. You can also contact us on our X account, JFSCPod, or on Facebook, Jesse's Fireside Chats. You can also send us an email if you feel so inclined at jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. We also have a Ko-fi page, so if you feel inclined to support us with a little donation, we would appreciate it, but no pressure. So if you're interested, it's ko-fi.com/Jesse's Fireside Chats. Thank you so much for all of this. Please pass this along to anybody you know that might be interested, and have a blessed day. Come back next time.